welcome everybody to another awesome episode of the Real Growth Podcast. We're coming to you live from the Realty Growth headquarters at 416 South Broadway. And today we are with the Miss Natalie Victoria. And I'm really excited about this because obviously Natalie and I share quite a bit of history together. We have stories. I mean, we could go on and on and on for a long time. But anyways, I just want to introduce Natalie to the show and to all of our viewers out there. So, hey, Natalie.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for inviting me on.
Well, thanks for coming. So as part of this podcast, Natalie, it's usually a pretty free-flowing thing. Yeah. Like to just have a nice conversation. Like to understand your story a little bit, where you came from, you know, who you are, how you got started and what you're doing, and, you know, how you've seen yourself grow over the years. So I guess let's just start off with like an easy question. Like, but tell us a little bit about yourself. Born, raised, what were you doing? Let's just kind of get like your story before getting to where you're
at. The
story behind the story. Yeah, I like that.
So I was born and raised in Green Bay, Wisconsin, home of, the Green Bay Packers. After graduation, I stayed in Green Bay and attended college at the university. And I was unemployed after my sophomore year of college. I needed a job that was consistent. We used to work at some of those retail stores and we were always on call. So you know how that goes. You're getting called off. And so my dad was friends with a gentleman who owned a welding company called Pioneer Metalcraft. And he had gotten me a job there, and it would be Monday through Friday, like 6 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., mandatory overtime. You'd have to wear steel-cut boots and safety goggles. And after I started there, I was like, there is no way. So I went out to eat with my mom and grandma, ironically, at a restaurant called Victoria's, Italian cuisine. And I grabbed an application, and I started. They interviewed me the next day, and I literally started the day after that. And it's ever since. Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, I remember there is an original Victoria's. Was it in Appleton?
Yes. The original Victoria's is on College Avenue, still there. His brother and his brother's wife still own and operate it with Sid's other brother. That's been there since 1987 or 86. So the two brothers, Sid and his brother, had originally started out in California.
Got it.
They worked for a franchise called Two Guys from Italy. Huh. Worked for them for years. Had an opportunity to own their own in a town called Wausau, Wisconsin. They, came cross country, moved to Wausau, Wisconsin, and opened up an Italian restaurant, Two Guys from Italy. The Wausau was not growing at the time, and I think they were looking for more opportunity. So they sold their liquor license to Mr. Steak for an ungodly amount of money, which helped them buy a little paint store, a Sherwin-Williams paint store on College Avenue in Appleton, and that's how they opened up Victoria's.
So, Natalie, you're working at Victoria's, this Italian restaurant in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and your husband is there. How did you two meet, and how did that then start your guys' adventure together in the business?
So I would have gotten the job in 1992. We married about 3 years after that. We had kind of worked side by side together. We ended up moving to Appleton. That's where the main restaurant was, Appleton, Wisconsin. I'd gone back to school. We started a family. Him and his brother were just having differences and maybe not always trying to... or maybe just not always going in the right direction, same direction, I should say, not the right direction. And so we had been kind of looking at different cities of maybe starting our own restaurant. My dad was getting near retirement age. He was a high school science teacher, biology teacher, and he was getting kind of towards retirement age. I think he kind of had some interest in just the restaurant business in itself. So he was kind of excited for us. Lo and behold, he ironically happened to golf with a gentleman named David Reese, who lived in Rochester, Minnesota. And he owned the Breckenridge building, which was our first location. So from 97 to 2002, we leased out a space in the Breckenridge building, which I'm not sure what it houses now. Is it?
Like, I think there was an Herbert's and Gerbert's there after you guys. And then They made it into like Mayo office now, right, is what I remember.
You're right. And because it was a tax preparation place, I think, temporarily. Yeah. So we moved here, and we outgrew that space right away. The other thing is the Mayo pharmacy was underneath us. So that was a little bit difficult, you know, with, you know, just being a restaurant, you got running water and accidents happen, and, you know, the pharmacy was underneath us. So it wasn't a great fit to have a full service restaurant there. So that is when, a year before we had moved into our current location, the Greenhouse restaurant had closed. That was in the Kaler Hotel.
Yeah.
And there was an antique store that was on the north side of that building there. So they had moved to a bigger space as well. So we just ended up taking over that whole corner then of the Kaler.
The whole space, yeah. And I have really great memories with my family. I met Natalie when I was 11 years old, because my family, we would visit Victoria's, obviously still do, on a fairly regular basis. And one thing I remember as a kid was how much food you got. And it was just like, it was like the most amazing thing ever. And I remember in the earlier days, Victoria's has this amazing bread. I'm not sure where you guys get the rolls, but it's amazing. But I remember when you first got started, not only did you provide those rolls, you also provided garlic bread. Do you remember that?
I do. And we still to this day make the garlic bread. You can order garlic bread.
Yeah.
There's no charge for it. It comes to your table, but you're right. I mean, the rolls were a kind of our signature item.
Oh yeah. All right. So we're talking about Brackenridge Plaza, your original location. You were there for quite a few years, and then you moved on to the former Greenhouse space. I remember that too, as well,
yep,
as a kid.
Yep.
I remember my dad, that was a favorite hangout spot. And sometimes we'd go and I'd get a cheeseburger there or something. But I remember the Greenhouse. It had like this sunken like bar area. But anyways, that's
your dad
story.
Was awesome. He would always take me for a walk through the Oddfellows building. Yeah, he would always come down to the restaurant. He's like, let's go for a walk. And so he'd take me all through the Skyway and show me all these spots. Yeah, he was great. I loved Ed.
Oh my gosh. So now we're moving into like the new space. It was a much larger space, right, that you guys are currently in.
It was a much larger space, which...
And what made you make that decision, Natalie? Like, I know you said you had outgrown the space, but, you know, I guess to me, your story is so interesting because, and I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, it is this way. You went to school, you're trying to be a teacher. Was that the plan? And you didn't have any business experience, right? And you just started working in the restaurant and you found a passion for that, right? I mean, I expect that's what it was.
Right. I mean, I don't think anyone, well, I shouldn't say any, I don't think most people graduate high school or college for that matter, go, oh, I want to open a restaurant.
Right.
I think most of the time they fall into it by, you know, whatever reason, but you're right. I mean, I didn't go to school for it. My only claim to knowing anything was that when I was a senior in high school, I took an intro to business class and we had to write a business plan. And my business plan was a hair salon called Strawberry Shortcut. and it was Mr. Moran was the teacher. And at the end, he handed everybody's business plan back to them but mine. And he said he was going to keep mine to use as a referral to everybody else for all of his classes moving forward, because he said mine, I blew it out of the water. So maybe I should have known back then that I was always meant to do this.
That's really cool.
But you're right. I didn't have any
like formal
experience.
Training. You
know,
didn't have any business background.
I fell
background.
In love with the fast paced part of it though.
Okay.
And I think that's what most people find. You fall in love with the fast pace. I mean, you're going from one thing to another. I mean, it doesn't suit everybody. I mean, but it suited me.
Yeah. So obviously, Victoria's has been super successful. One of the, if not the best restaurant in Rochester. Everybody knows it. It's become, like I said, a very much a staple in downtown Rochester. But then there was something more, Natalie. There's something inside of you that said, I want to do more. And I think that's really when Natalie and I met and really started to connect. Once again, I knew who Natalie and Sid were based on just visiting Victoria's with my family. But, you know, at what stage were you like, oh gosh, I'm ready to take the next leap of faith and start something new?
I don't think, after Victoria's, In 97 came, you know, the tapless in 2012. But I don't think, you know, my husband was the one that always has a lot more drive than I do, even though he is, has a, you know, a big ground game at Victoria's. I mean, he is your boots on the ground daily, every single day back in that kitchen. You know, that's kind of his, that's kind of his, I mean, he, that's his love. He would take me past the Kennedy building, which used to hold Jasper's.
And Height Randall Jewelers.
And Height Randall Jewelry Store. It was for sale for quite some time in 2011. And we always talked about possibly, you know, getting a tour of it. And that was right around the same time that the Post Bulletin, or the one of the media.
It was Post Bulletin.
Was it the Post Bulletin?
Yeah.
Had a marketing seminar at the country club. And my dad was wanting me out of my comfort zone, start going to some of these things. I got to start networking because I became like my husband, where I was just kind of in my lane, running the business, you know, not paying attention to much else. So I show up at the country club late, as does Nick, and we grabbed the last table in back, and that's how we started talking. And I found out he was a realtor.
Oh my God.
And I said, hey, will you take us through the Kennedy building? And you go, sure.
I had no idea what I was doing. Literally, I just got my license. And I remember this. And I remember, like, I was like, literally, I was telling somebody else this story yesterday. I literally, like, I had like a bunch of business cards in my pocket. And here comes Natalie Victoria and is like, oh, hey, you know, and she asked me for my business card. And I just remember being like, oh my gosh, like, I couldn't get it out fast enough. But I was just like, I was shocked because I was like, oh my gosh, I had never been asked that honestly before because I literally was just licensed. And I remember giving it to her and Natalie said, I'll never forget this. She goes, I'm going to call you. And I was just like, oh, yeah, right. Like, you know, I was like, I don't know if that's actually going to happen. You know, people probably say that all the time. And no, Natalie called me like that afternoon and she had mentioned that she wanted to get together and talk. So then I remember we met in the Olmsted National Bank building with your partner, Christine Stahl.
Yes.
And I wasn't quite sure like what we were going to talk about. I didn't know. And I remember you guys started asking me about like bars and like what I looked for. And I'm like, what's going on here? Like, and so I remember saying, oh yeah, I like this bar up in Minneapolis. Cause I just moved back from Minneapolis. I like this bar. Like, I think this would be cool. And you're like, okay, let's go. Let's find this building now. And you're right. It was the Kennedy building. And I remember walking through and, you know, we negotiated a price and we got it. And I remember I didn't even know how to write a purchase agreement. I had to ask my dad, and it was so like amazing. I don't remember who I was talking to yesterday, but I told him the same. Oh, it was the new guy upstairs, Logan. He was asking me how I got started. And I was like, I got started and my dad like had to like literally hold my hand because I didn't know what I was doing. And I just remember sitting down with him and writing up that purchase agreement. And then he was like, okay, go present it to Jeff Brown. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Jeff Brown, he used to be my baseball coach. And I went over there and, you know, Jeff has been in the business for a long time. And, you know, we ended up negotiating and getting the deal done. And then you guys created this beautiful, beautiful, you know, space now, which is the Tap House. Because it wasn't always like that. Remember, I mean, it wasn't like there's an apartment upstairs in the beginning.
Right.
And
right. So after we, so I met Christine, she is my business partner at the Tap Houses, and she's also my ride or die best friend. I met her at, well, our kids went to school together at the Rochester Catholic Schools, and then she also worked at Victoria's for quite a few years, but she was 100% on board with starting something. So, yes. So after, you know, we purchased a building, you know, a year later, the Tap House was born. And then we would go to Nick for, you know, all our other. So a couple years after that, we decided to purchase some land out by
Costco.
Yep. And Nick helped us with that. And then the Victoria family broke off and the kids started their own at the old Associated Bank building.
Yeah,
which is now Sorrelinas. Helped us with that.
Which is just, this journey has been so cool, Natalie. And one thing that I've always appreciated about you is in this business, it's gotten a lot harder to maintain loyalty. And I think Natalie and Christine both, and I would say the whole Victoria and Stahl families, what they've shown me is that there still are people out there that are loyal. And, but it started with a friendship, I think, for mm-hmm. us. And the thing that I'll never forget, and I wrote an article about this, I think it was last year in one of our newsletters. I actually thanked Natalie in one of our newsletters for giving me a chance. Because here I was, 2011, 2012, newly licensed, 23, 24 years old, had no clue what I was doing. And yet Natalie and Christine took a chance on me. And I honestly feel that if that didn't happen, honestly, I don't think that I would be where I am today, because I just didn't know that I was going to make it. And Natalie and Christine kind of looked past that and said, no, this guy is young, he's driven, he's motivated. Yes, you know, he has his dad to help and good mentors. Let's give this guy a shot. And you did. And I am honestly forever grateful for that. And what I also think is so cool is that you then have now done the same exact thing for the next generation. And I think that's so admirable and so cool, because it reminds me of what my dad did for me. I was very fortunate to have a mentor. I consider you a mentor in business. My father was a mentor in this business, the real estate business. You gave that to your kids. And I just think that's so amazing, because you're passing your love and your family's love on to the next generation, who can now continue this pretty awesome legacy and history that you've created here. And so I guess my next question for you is, how has that been working in a family business for much of your working life?
Well, back up a little bit. Nick, yeah. Thank you. What you said was so eloquent, and we feel the same about you. We are close friends. Nick is someone that we can text from time to time. Hey, how's it going? Nick always checks in. If we haven't talked to each other in months, how's it going? What's going on? We use him for all of our real estate needs. And I know he is going to give you his best shot. Absolutely. We love you, Nick. You know, I always think, well, I bought my kids a job, I think is the thing I think about when I think about the business, because it is a job. I mean, the restaurant business is not for the faint of heart. I mean, you have to be a hardy person to kind of deal with everything that comes your way. There's competing priorities. I mean, you got unpleasant customers sometimes. I mean, there's a lot. So you will develop thick skin. But Nadia and Jordan are doing fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, they are doing fantastic. You know, he kind of sticks to the back of the house and does that, and she kind of runs the front of the house. And it has really become a family affair. She's got her brothers have graduated college, and they're working there with her. Her sister is also a college grad working there with her. So, I mean, she has her husband. She's really got a lot of support, which is really fun to see, because you can't do it alone. And especially as a young mother, I mean, you know, she's a young mom, and you can't do it alone. But if I didn't believe in them, I mean, yeah, you know, it would be a different story. But I believed in them. I mean, they knew what they were getting into. They grew up in this business.
Right. And I think that's what's key. You know, not to say that you can't learn it. Obviously, you and Sid learned the restaurant business from the ground up. And I remember my dad always told me that, too. Working in the hotels at a young age, my dad said, you know, if you want to do this, you need to understand every area of the business. And I think that's so true. So I remember, you know, doing housekeeping, working the front desk, maintenance, which I said, you know what, Dad, I am not mechanically inclined to figure this out, but if I can at least understand the basics. And I think that's so true, you know, to have that person say, hey, if you're going to understand this business and be successful in this business, it doesn't matter what it is, you need to understand every facet
of it. Absolutely, Nick. You develop empathy.
Yep.
Knowledge is power, too. I mean, but, you know, you got to walk in their shoes a little bit to understand their job. And, you know, if there is a conflict that arises, I mean, you have to understand how they see it from their perspective, too.
Yeah, no. Which, and I think, too, I really agree with you. You find empathy, and you really start understanding what people go through, whether it's the bus person or the dishwasher or the cook or the waiter or the wait staff or a manager. Learning all those different areas of a business, it helps you understand where people are coming from and how hard a lot of this work is. Mm-hmm. You know, I know I found myself in the hotel business when I did, my dad had me do housekeeping for 2 months and I was like, oh, this is, I was 18 years old. So I was this, you know, fit young guy. Oh, no problem. I can do housekeeping for 2 months. I was exhausted. I remember being exhausted and it gave me a whole new appreciation for that work. And I think it's just very similar in the restaurant business. It gives you a whole new appreciation for the various positions of that business. Another thing, Natalie, that I really appreciate about you is, and I think as a business owner, you're not afraid to get your hands dirty. And what I mean by that is, Natalie, I still see at the restaurants, she might be behind the bar. She might be acting as the hostess. She might be going around and, you know, doing what owners do and, you know, just chit-chatting with your customers. But you're always doing something and you're not afraid to do those jobs. It's not above you. None of that's above you. And I think personally, I feel that is such a beautiful and wonderful quality in an owner, because I think oftentimes owners think that they're above those things. And when you find an owner who's like, no, I'll go bus a table or help out the wait staff or whatever, it's very admirable. And I think that builds a lot of loyalty and trust with your staff. And that's something that, like I said, I really admire about you, because you're always there. You're always working it and you're showing your staff that you care.
That was really sweet. You know, my strengths are not compiling papers and doing book work and keeping that kind of stuff intact. And I'd fortunately have a solid office, you know, team that kind of keeps it all together, you know, purchasing food and that. So my strength really is being on the floor. That's where I like to be. That's where I'm most comfortable. And just helping out wherever I can. And you're right, whether that's bussing tables or expoing food or jumping behind the bar. I don't have to jump behind the kitchen, thank goodness.
Well, that's what it's for.
Yeah. But I that's what I enjoy doing. So I'm fortunate that way. I think most restaurant owners know that you have to, most restaurant owners, I would think, like that about the restaurant business. Many of them start out as a bartender or a server or someone dishwasher, and they kind of work their way up and purchase a business. But I think to have that, I mean, you got to have a little bit of that, you know, they call it grunt work or something behind work ethic. And I'm just super thankful that I do have that, yeah. But I like to do that.
That's great. So you love what you do, which is also very, very important, obviously. And so, okay. So we know where you're at today. So Natalie and her family and partners, they have Victoria's, they have Sorlina's, they have the Tap House Downtown, they have the Tap House West End, they also have Nico's Tacos up in Minneapolis. So that's where we're at today. That is the Victoria family in a nutshell. It's a pretty nice nutshell. Where do you see yourselves in the future? Where are you going, Natalie? What do you think is going to happen?
Nick, that is a $1 million question. I have no idea. You know, for right now, I am really content. Christine and I have kind of, she split up the duties at the Tap House. She kind of manages the day-to-day operations at the Tap House West End. The Tap House Downtown, we are really lucky. We have a fantastic team. It kind of runs on its own a little bit, so to say. But I do pop down there in the mornings and kind of get some of the stuff done. And I do, you know, sometimes in the evenings, I try to find a day or so during the week that I can kind of spend time with the staff. But for right now, I'm really content at Victoria's. In the future, I don't know. I could see myself working with Christine maybe at one of the tap houses more, maybe being involved more at the West End. I feel a little bit removed from that location. I mean, obviously, you can't, you can only kind of, really dive into one. But yeah, the kids are doing great at Sorlina's. They really are. I check in from time to time, but they seem to be doing fine, you know.
Yeah.
You know, every now and then they come to Victoria's to pick up something they ran out of from the food order or whatever. But yeah, they really are. And I didn't have any doubts. I mean, I had no doubts whatsoever that they wouldn't be able to do it. So, you know, Nadia, so Jordan, you know, COVID happened. Jordan came back from school. He worked with my husband in the kitchen for 18 months and he loved it, loved it. And so that's how this whole thing transpired. It really, you know, and same with Nadia. Nadia went to college, you know, got a business degree, came back. She was in charge of all the food ordering. She did a lot of the day-to-day managing operations, but there really wasn't room for them to grow inside Victoria's. I mean, you know, we still had our jobs. We still were kind of there on the day-to-day, weren't ready to give it up. So that's how this whole thing came about. And, you know, we lease space there and we're happy where we're at, but it was nice to have an opportunity to own our own building, maybe some outside of downtown. Just for future.
Yeah. So I noticed that, I know you and I have been talking, you know, I noticed that you guys launched kind of, I think it seems like a new area of your business. I think it's like Victoria's Weddings and Catering. Is that correct? Is that like,
yes. So we've always kind of done a lot of the office caterings. Yeah. And we just kind of started the last couple of years doing weddings. So, a lot of people are now getting married, you know, at their residences or at some of the kind of venues around town that allow outside caterers in. So that has really been a really nice part to see grow of our business is the caterings. You know, the thing about the restaurant, Victoria's anyway, is it's a really big footprint. It's got a lot of square feet. So you have to be pretty, have enough consistent business to, you know, offset the cost of doing, you know, the cost of doing business there. So catering is really nice because sometimes in those slow seasons, because everyone has slow seasons, you know, that kind of makes up for some of the lack of the foot traffic. So yeah, it's been really, it's we've been blessed.
That's really awesome. So yeah, so, you know, I love seeing your companies continue to grow, kind of branch out into other areas. And I think, yeah, I think catering and obviously weddings, that's pretty big business, I would expect. So it's really great to keep seeing you grow and change because that's what this podcast is about, real growth. So as we kind of start wrapping up here, Natalie, I like asking the question, how have you seen yourself grow on a personal level? And then the follow-up or secondary question would be, and that's maybe a little bit more obvious, but how have you seen yourself grow as a business person, as an entrepreneur as well? So let's start off like just as like on a personal basis. How have you seen yourself grow throughout these last, what, since 92, I think you said? How have you seen yourself grow just as an individual, and what things have you learned throughout the years?
One of the big things is, I think, is I've learned to, I can't control everything. You know what I mean? Sometimes I think I have that mindset where, you know, I try to kind of micromanage every part of life, whether it was my kids, whether it was, you know, their activities and the restaurant and stuff. And so sometimes you just have to let things kind of let the pieces fall where they may. So I have learned to be okay with that. And that's been a really tough challenge. You know, we have a young daughter at home who is, well, she's not young anymore. She's, you know, a teenager. But so this time around, you know, we had the boys. I'm kind of learning to enjoy the moment more so. I think when I was younger with the boys, it was like, you know, race through this and race through that and on to the next. So I'm enjoying the moment for sure with her and all the seasons, you know, that come with watching her grow.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think as a young business owner, I think we do kind of lose sight of that. And I will, whether good or bad or whatever, you know, I forget that myself. And it's interesting how children do change that aspect. I recently just had our second child, and kind of brings you back down to earth and makes you realize, hey, you can't control everything. And I think that's really important because that's a struggle that I think a lot of young entrepreneurs, not even young, I'll just say people in general that are high achieving, own a business or manage a business, whatever it might be, some type of leadership position, struggle with, because obviously you want to be successful, and you want to be successful not only in the business, but also in your family life. And finding that fine balance is oftentimes, I think, difficult for people, yeah, especially when you're younger.
And you have a career, you know, I mean, you have it. And especially when you're younger, you know, your career is, you know, kind of on the cusp of, you know, becoming bigger. So, I mean, it's just balancing. You're right. It's that balancing act.
It's a balancing 100%. Act, and it's hard. It's hard. It is. But, you know, people like you show us that, hey, it can do it, right? And geez, you know, you can have family time too, even at work.
I know, right? Right?
I just love, honestly, I love this story. I love what you've done, and it has truly been such a blessing to watch you grow and watch, I would say, our relationship grow. It's just so fun. You talked about Elizabeth, your daughter. I remember when she was like 2, and it's so crazy. And now you say, oh yeah, she's a teenager. It's like, holy cow. Like, time just flies.
It does. You know, one of the unique aspects of this business is, you know, sometimes you don't have that traditional family life where you have the 8 to 4:30 job or the 8 to 5 job. And so I think there's a lot of guilt that is on people that are in this business, I would imagine. I mean, I guess I don't, you know, openly talk about this with people, but I mean, there's a lot of guilt on you for that. But yet on the other side too, I think, there's sacrifices being made. And I think it's important that people, that your kids see sacrifices being made, that it's not all, sacrifice, I think, is important.
Okay. So we're getting to our time here, and I guess you are such a force, not only for, I would say, entrepreneurs or business people, but for or young women. I would just say everybody. You're truly an inspiration because you embody what it means to be an entrepreneur, and you truly have that entrepreneurial spirit. So I guess my final question is, Natalie, what would you tell someone who might not know what he or she is doing or aren't sure about whether or not they should start a business? What would you like tell someone? Like, what would your...
Well, I mean, to this day, I still don't know everything. I mean, you know, you're never going to know everything. You're always learning. And I think back to when we first opened. I mean, I didn't know that angel hair and cappellini pasta were literally the same thing. I mean, you know, I think back to the tap house. I mean, we decided to do craft beer. I mean, I don't even drink beer, Nick. I mean, I don't know. I mean, so, you know, it was just one of those things where, I mean, we took a chance on it. If this is a trend, this could go completely backwards. But, you know, we wanted to be the first craft beer bar. So we went to those Cicerone classes. I mean, we went through endless craft beer training to learn everything we could about craft beer before we opened. So, I mean, I still don't know it all. I mean, people still come in and these beer geeks, we call them, they know more about beer, which is fantastic, than I do. So, I mean, you're always kind of learning. I mean, my son called me yesterday and he's up at Nico's running the Nico's, and he's like, Mom, we just got a call from this sports team up there that wants to rent out, you know, their space, and how do I do this? And it's really interesting because you don't know all the answers to this stuff. And I think since COVID, it's been really nice. We have gotten to be really close with a lot of the restaurant owners, your brother in particular, your brother and I text Aaron, love Aaron, a lot. You know, I'll text him, you know, questions, and he'll, situations and what would he do? And we have the same relationship. The same with a lot of the other ones, you know, Tasso's at Panacuca, Powers. I mean, a lot of those people, I mean, we still keep really, really close with. And so it's really become a family, which is nice. It's just been really nice. The last couple of years have been so fun because of that and because of the support.
Mm-hmm. That's really great. So as we wrap up, Natalie, do you have any final words for our viewers and listeners?
No, but thank you, Nick. Okay. This was really fun.
No,
this
well, thank
was really,
you so
really
much.
Fun. I appreciate the invite.
No, and we appreciate having you here, and we appreciate you all who are listening or watching. I'll just put a final plug in there. Go, if you have not been, go visit one of the Victoria family establishments in Minneapolis. You can hit up Nico's Tacos. It's amazing. If you're here in Rochester or you're visiting Rochester, you can hit up a plethora of the restaurants, whether it's Victoria's, which is downtown. There's a tap house downtown. There's a tap house West End, which, by the way, my family is visiting this afternoon or this evening, I should say. Or Sorolina's, which, by the way, my family was there for brunch on Sunday. truly support local, support this, what is a family business. It's incredible. You will see the Victoria's family working. They're there every day, working hard, helping out the community, and really putting out some amazing products. So please, once again, support local, support your local businesses. And Natalie, once again, thank you so much for being a figure, a force, an entrepreneur, someone that, you know, all of us can look up to.
Nick, thanks for making me sound amazing.
Hey, you are amazing. And I think that's a wrap. So everybody, thanks again for listening to Real Growth Podcast. We'll see you all next week.